The book of Genesis, chapter 41, I desire that we read from the verse number 15 to the verse number 24. Genesis 41, from the verse number 15, let us read with the help of our Lord. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kine did eat up the first seven fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this morning from the Word of God. And now, before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and join our hearts in a prayer and thanksgiving to our Lord. Our loving Heavenly Father, we desire to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. This day and hour of our gathering around Thy holy word, gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we acknowledge before Thee that we have nothing of ourselves to make Thy glory brighter, to make Thy name greater, to exalt the throne of Thy majesty higher. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou today guide us and protect us in this act of worshiping Thy holy name. Holy Father, Thou illuminate our minds, fill our hearts with love and gratitude, that our souls may overflow with praise and adoration of Thy holy name. That our prayers and our thanksgiving, O Lord, be acceptable unto Thee as the offering of the faithful Abel, as the offering of Thy servant prophet Elijah. For we, O Heavenly Father, call upon Thy name in the name of Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this holy word of Thine. We praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy goodness and mercy that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, for that abiding grace that is revealing and confirming on and on that thou art the one that began, thou art the one that sustained, and thou wilt accomplish the work of thy salvation in us, in our weak hearts, upon our souls, O Lord. Because thou hast loved the mankind so much, that thou hast given thine only begotten Son, so that none of those that believe in him should perish, but have life everlasting. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, thou fill our hearts with gratitude. Thou, Lord God Almighty, grant us the gift of that pure and fervent heavenly love. And thou, Lord, make us strong in this holy faith, that as our father Abraham was journeying toward the promised land, and as he was leading his household and his flocks from place to place, as his path was marked with the altar to the Most High God, that so our pilgrimage will be filled with worship and praise of thy holy name. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, thou remove from our faith all doubts and fears. Thou cleanse away ignorance and superstition. And thou, Heavenly Father, make us steadfast in that blessed hope of thy glorious coming. O Lord God Almighty, help us to make our life continual testimony of thy goodness and grace, to make our dealing with the people around us a voice of thy truth, O Lord, to herald the coming of the great day of judgment, and to proclaim that the day of grace is still going on. O Heavenly Father, thou revealed thy word to us today, and by that word of thine, O Lord, thou strengthen, comfort, and make joyful all thy children, and encourage thy friends, and move the hearts of those that are still lingering in sin. Thou bless thy holy word, O Heavenly Father, and proclaim thy gospel far and wide, to deliver the souls from the bondage of sin, and to gather thy people into thy fold under the wings of thy goodness and grace, O Lord. Thou comfort the sad, and thou, O Heavenly Father, by this word of truth, raise the dead. By the gentle and mighty power of thy Spirit, O Lord, move the hearts and deliver the souls. Thou create that new life, new beginning in Christ. Thou give the precious gift of true repentance, full conversion, victory over sin and death, and that blessed walk in Christ in peace and with the joy of thy salvation, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that all those that call upon thy holy name, all that sincerely and fully believe that our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, is thy beloved Son, revealing the face of thine to us in meekness, in humility, in strength and victory, in patience and endurance, in courage and liberty. That all those, O Heavenly Father, whom Thou hast redeemed, be led by Thy Spirit and united in the spirit of love and peace. Holy Father, Almighty God, Thou bless our tiny efforts to reach out and to share Thy holy word. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, multiply Thy word and multiply the anointing of Thy Spirit. Multiply the fruits of Thy Spirit, O Lord. And may the work of Thy salvation be accomplished, that none be late of those for whom the sacrifice of full redemption has been offered. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. Glory and honor belong unto Thee. Worship and praise is Thine, O Lord. Make us Thou, and keep us Thou, Thy faithful and beloved children, children of Thy love and the new covenant in Christ, the heirs of the heavenly kingdom, and the faithful stewards of the goods that Thou hast entrusted to our stewardship. And in everything, O Lord, may Thy name be honored, and the name of Christ exalted, and the power of Thy Spirit manifested in our daily walk. Thou keep us from the pollution of the world. Thou keep us from the filth of the flesh. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, arm us with the whole armor of faith to the glory and honor of Thy holy name. Amen. In our second reading this morning, beloved, let us read from the same chapter, Genesis chapter 41, from the verse number 38 to the verse number 44. Genesis 41:38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. This far I desire that we read in our second reading. If I remember correctly, last time when we looked into this so turbulent history of Joseph, so changing history filled with drama, we noticed that the man who should have been at least somewhat thankful to Joseph for interpreting his dream in the prison. That cupbearer of Pharaoh quickly forgot about Joseph. At the time when this servant of Pharaoh was back in his honorable place and enjoying the comfort and the pleasures of the kingdom of Egypt, this man quickly forgot Joseph being in the prison, falsely accused, unjustly condemned, and left there to suffer. And yet we also read that God was with Joseph. It came to pass, we read in the beginning of chapter 41, at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. This dream that Pharaoh dreamed obviously did not seem possible. It was something that just doesn't happen. It was not a dream of just ordinary event that Pharaoh could see in the land of Egypt any time. There probably were many cows. And if Pharaoh just dreamed that some cows were grazing by the river, it would not be anything unusual, anything alarming. But to dream something like this, that 7 skinny, ugly, miserably looking cows would swallow up, eat up 7 fat, well-fed cows, and nothing changed. The skinny and bad-looking cows looked just as bad as before. Well, that's quite unusual. Chances are that the rulers have some vain weakness to ascribe great meaning to the meaningless things that happen in their life, because they're rulers, they're kings, and they're great people, and so on. But in this case, it might not be something to be forgotten or something meaningless. Pharaoh woke up, and then after a while he slept again. Second dream was even more unusual. We know that all the plants take their food through their, or most of the plants take their food through their roots. But in his second dream, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, saw 7 ears of corn that grew up from one stalk, apparently from one seed. And they were very good. And then 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 17 ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream, another one. Ears of corn eating other ears of corn. In the morning, Pharaoh's spirit was troubled. Pharaoh felt that there is a message, that there might be some prophecy in his dreams, that someone who is greater than the mankind is sending a message to Pharaoh, and yet Pharaoh does not understand the message. How many people nowadays hear the message of some of the same one that is much greater than any man, and they don't understand, and yet they don't have as much awareness, and they are not as alert as Pharaoh was to seek the meaning of that message and to know what is the will of him that is able to influence even the dreams of a human being. And so Pharaoh used his usual ways of interpreting the dreams. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. So there might have been quite a large number of people gathered before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret the dream unto Pharaoh. Well, if Pharaoh did that at this time, I would think that that didn't happen first time. That many times before, these people did interpret the dreams of Pharaoh. Why they were not able to do the same thing that they used many times before? We see how the Lord is working. We see that even though Pharaoh is the king of kings by his mighty spirit is controlling the earthly kings on their thrones. And not only that, the Lord is preparing a way that he has prepared long ago, a way for Joseph to get out of the prison. The Lord is moving Joseph one step forward. Now when we look into that, it is true that in the Word of God we find that what a man sow, that is what he is going to reap. And truly, if one had a field and he sow wheat, it's not going to be corn when it grows up. But then we remember what the Lord said in his story about sowing his seed, how the enemy came and he sowed his seed. Now who is going to reap that? Did Job reap in his sickness, in his tragedies, what he sowed? Well, the Lord God himself said, there is no other man like Job. I noticed that the people that boast about some success in this life and look down on the others that are suffering for the name of the Lord are quick to say the judgment, which is, if they would just look a little bit deeper into that, their own condemnation. Who can today, in his clear mind and good understanding of the scripture, say that coming out of the prison and becoming the ruler of the land of Egypt for Joseph was more important, more meaningful than being sold by his own brothers, becoming a slave, and then being cast into prison for the iniquity of another person? In all of that, God was preparing Joseph for a great deed, for a great mission. And so for those that love the Lord, everything works for good. Yes, there are times of trials and testing. There are difficult times. There is a lot of sadness. Even our father Abraham passed through a long time of schooling before the promise of having a son of his own with Sarah, his wife. A son that will be the heir of the holy promises and the bearer of the holy faith, a faithful witness for the Lord. So, yes, we do reap what we sow. And if the Lord has sown the good seed in our hearts, and we cherish that seed, and we serve the Lord, we will have tribulation. We will have difficulties. And also, there will be moments of comfort and joy, even in this evil world. It's a wonderful thing to see that in a heart where the Spirit of the Lord is dwelling, there is peace, even though the children of the Lord are surrounded by this world of sin and iniquity. So, we read here that there is a great number of people, and they are supposed to be magicians, wise men. We could say the wisdom of Egypt is gathered before the king of Pharaoh, and just an unusual dream of Pharaoh becomes a riddle that they cannot solve, they cannot find out the meaning of. At that time, the butler was reminded, finally it came to his mind, to think about Joseph. Now, whatever quality or lack of quality was this man, butler, we can be assured that the Lord did not keep Joseph in the prison one day longer than it was necessary. The butler said unto Pharaoh, I do remember my faults this day. We read in the beginning of this chapter, at the end of 2 full years, this happened. Should we say that the memory of this man was very bad or very good? After 2 full years, he remembered what happened, and he remembered exactly the way it happened. Why did he forget for so long? He was the man of this world that could not care less for righteousness, for godliness, and so he couldn't care less for those that are righteous and godly. He was a selfish man. And now he sees his opportunity to do something that will promote himself. And so he is saying to Pharaoh, at the time when Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in the ward, in the captain of guard's house, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream in one night, and I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. It came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me, Pharaoh restored unto mine office, and him, the chief baker, Pharaoh hanged, put to death. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. What do we think about this? Did Joseph have 2 sets of raiment, something for coming to Pharaoh from time to time, and another one for his regular prison days? Or did he have some holidays in the prison when he had special raiment, special garments? Well, it seemed to me that from the appearance of a prisoner, Joseph had to be changed. His appearance had to be changed. He was changed outwardly to appear before Pharaoh, to be more alike to the people that are in the palace of Pharaoh. We read later on that Pharaoh added a few things, and I just don't feel that Joseph was very excited about all the things that were done to him as an honor, as upgrading of his appearance to be in harmony, so to say, with the others that are in Pharaoh's presence. We read here that in the verse 42 that Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. Might have been pretty large. It was somehow fit on the hand. I don't know. I never saw a Pharaoh. But we see the rulers nowadays, and especially from that part of the world, they still enjoy so much jewelry. And quite a few of those things make them look awkward and ugly. But somehow they feel that that's honorable, that that's something attractive, or that make them appear as people of high position, I guess. Not only that, he said that Pharaoh arrayed Joseph in vestures of fine linen. I think that at this time Joseph probably would be much happier if he could have his shepherd clothing and his colorful garment that his father made for him, and be back in the tents of his father and together with his younger brother Benjamin. But it was not the time for that, for Joseph. We read here that another additional piece of royal appearance was put on Joseph, a golden chain about his neck. So there was quite a change outwardly. And we could praise the Lord and say, thank God, Joseph did not change inwardly. Inwardly he was faithful, godly person. God has prepared Joseph through many tribulations, through much suffering, and now, after this change, coming before Pharaoh, Joseph is a peaceful and wise man. So Pharaoh told his dream to Joseph, and when Pharaoh told the dream to Joseph, Pharaoh was quite excited, or let's say, nervous. It was a tensed moment. He said, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. So Joseph first answered, it is from God. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold. What does that mean, behold? Look. Pharaoh is talking very dramatically. I stood upon the bank of the river, and look again, there came up out of the river seven kine. Cows are not coming from the river. They're not animals that live in the water. That was unusual already. And Pharaoh is very colorfully, very vividly describing what happened. And then he said, and look what happened after that. Seven other kind, poor, very ill-favored and lean-fleshed. I wonder if during that recent starvation in Ethiopia, if we could see some pictures in the paper, some of their animals. It's awful. It was so terrible to look upon. The bones are sticking out through the skin. I mean, we could just turn away not to look at it. It was such an ugly scene. And Pharaoh is describing his dream to Joseph. He said, "Such as I never saw in the land of Egypt for badness." And then what happened? The ugly cows are eating the beautiful cows, and there is no change. And so Pharaoh told also the second part about the ears of corn. And then I think there was silence for a moment, waiting for the reaction, for the answer. Will Joseph be able to interpret the dream? And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." I think, beloved, when Joseph started talking, that it was a still voice. Someone who is walking with confidence, holding the hand of the Lord that is leading him. Joseph didn't say, "Well, maybe this. I think it could be the meaning of the dream. Or probably this is what that dream means." No, he's talking with confidence. Joseph is secured in what the Lord has revealed unto him. So, is Pharaoh going to believe what Joseph say? What if Pharaoh said, "No, that just cannot be. It never happened in Egypt like that. And look into the old chronicles of the kings of Egypt, and nothing like that ever happened. Exactly 7 years. 7 years of plentiful, well, could be. But 7 years of famine, the people nowadays just don't want to believe that bad things are going to happen exactly as the word of God is foretelling. They don't want even to think about something that is obvious. It's so clear and so sure that all the people that are of age very soon will die. And most of them don't want to think about that. They don't want to talk about that. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear that. That's the denial of the facts. The denial of the truth. Well, Joseph said, "The dream of Pharaoh is one." What does that mean? How can it be one when there were two dreams? The meaning. Joseph is talking about the meaning of the dream. The meaning is one. God has showed Pharaoh what God is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years. The seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is the same. And the 17 and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years. And the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. Imagine, this is a man that was a slave for so many years, and a prisoner for so many years, and he is talking to the king of Egypt, a great kingdom, and he is talking with such confidence and so peacefully. "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh." Joseph is bringing the name of God back again and again in his interpretation. And when we see somebody today interpreting the word of God, and somehow the name of God is just missing there, then we know that that person or that group of people know not God. Or when we see somebody mentioning the name of God very frequently and yet not keeping the word of God, then we know again that person does not know God. So how shall we know that someone is really declaring the word of God? By good understanding and faithful performance, doing the word of God. And yet, occasionally, we can see among the people a great miracle of the Lord. Someone who is not educated, who cannot give us some high-level interpretation of the scripture. And when we watch and observe that person's life, he or she is faithful and godly. We have to recall the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Thou hast hid this truth, this revelation from the prudent in this world, and thou hast revealed that to the simple, to the babes. Well, here Joseph said, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. Now this is a prophecy, this is a declaration foretelling the future. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. I think this is just wonderful. I think this is great what the Lord is doing through this man, whom the Lord has preserved through the years of childhood, through the years of slavery, through the years of imprisonment. And now we can just sense the wings of God's protection around Joseph as he is declaring to a great king the truth that will come to pass shortly. So, the magicians, the wise men, the Pharaoh's ministers, stewards, perhaps the captains of the army, they all are going to hear this. But above all of them, Pharaoh and his nearest trusted people are listening, and every word that Joseph said sounds like a sure, stable testimony. They believed that. But that's not all. The word of God, the message from the Lord, is not just given to foretell the future. That's not the only value and significance of it. The word of God is given to us that we prepare for that is coming, that we get ready. So Joseph is giving a very wise advice. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him, Pharaoh, appoint officers. No, the preceding verse first, verse 33. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out for a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. What is this Crete? Many people are wise, rather crafty, but not discreet. Let a Pharaoh find in the land of Egypt an honest person, a godly person, a person that is wise enough not to forsake his God, even if he is sold to be a slave, even if he is imprisoned. Is there such a person in the whole land of Egypt? And then, the second part of this advice. Let Pharaoh do this. And also let this man that Pharaoh is going to find or appoint, let that man appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land, of the crop, of the increase from the fields, of the vineyards and orchards in the seven abundant years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. This thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. If only the Word of God, all of the Word of God, would always look good in the eyes of his servants. How blessed and fortunate would be the people that believe and keep the Word of God. And so Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such an one as this? Now the land of Egypt is great. There are many people living. Can they find somebody? Not only that, the land of Egypt is the land of commerce. And the people from many other countries are coming to buy and sell in Egypt. Can Pharaoh find a man like this one in whom the Spirit of God is? There was a question, and there is no answer, not right away. None of the Egyptians, none of the advisors, magicians, wise men, and high officers of Pharaoh, none of them said, oh, I know at least one. None. And then Pharaoh turned to Joseph again and said, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So Pharaoh appointed Joseph as a discreet and wise man. And Pharaoh was right for once. Well, could we say that Joseph has reaped now what he sowed? Long, long ago, he dreamed the dreams that caused increased hatred of his brother against Joseph. Or at least, his brother took these dreams as a reason to hate Joseph more. Well, I think that we could interpret these words that everyone will reap what he sowed. Or we could see the other sides, how the people apply these words in their life. We know somewhere in the prophecy is a record. The Lord is talking about his vineyard. And he said, I did this and that and this and that. And I did everything necessary for this vineyard to bring forth best fruit. Why? did my vineyard bring forth? Evil fruit, sour grapes, wild grapes. And then the Lord said, this is what I'm going to do. I will break the fence. I will destroy the tower. I will let the wild animals trot upon that vineyard. Destroy it. He also said, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, another parable, and he said, there is a man that had a fig tree in his vineyard. And he came and the fig tree didn't bear fruit. And next year and next year, nothing. Then the owner said to the steward, this is the third year I'm coming and I find no fruit. And then he said, cut it down. Why should it cumber the land? Why should it take the place of a tree, fruit-bearing tree, and not bearing fruit? And the steward said, oh my Lord, just one more year, one more year. I will dig around that tree. I will put some fertilizer. And hopefully it will bear fruit. But if not, thou canst cut it down next year. What a good steward. He looked upon that tree and he had compassion. How long it takes for the tree to grow. And then it's cut down and it's dead. Nothing. And that steward even seemed to be indirectly blaming himself for the tree not bearing fruit. But the owner did not. The owner said, does that kind of a tree that will not bear fruit for so long did not cut it down. And yet the owner agreed with the steward. Why? Why? The owner is the one that inspired the steward to think and to act with compassion, with desire to try again. Well, then there is that third or another parable that the Lord did in deeds, not in words only. He went and looked at a tree, fig tree, and there was no fruit. And the Lord said, that's it. From now on, no one is going to eat fruit from this tree. And the tree withered and died. So the Word of God is telling us there is patience, there is kindness, there is long suffering of our Lord, but there is a judgment day appointed. It's not going to be on and done. The grace of God is not given to encourage multiplying of sin. The grace of God is not given to support, to encourage sinning, but rather to encourage everyone to forsake sins, to turn to the Lord, and to seek Him while He can be found, and to call upon His name while He is nigh. The time is coming when many will call on the name of the Lord, but way too late. Just too late. So, we read here another interesting point that Joseph said to Pharaoh, because the dream was doubled twice. It is because the thing is established by God and God will shortly bring it to pass. And it seemed to me that some people try to make a rule of that. That if anything is recorded in the Bible only once, it's not reliable. It has to be recorded in two places, at least twice, to make it sure that that is something that God really wants us to keep. I don't believe a single word of that. I don't think that God ever said anything or recorded in the book anything that is not important to Him. But God is saying it twice to let the people know that it surely is coming to pass, and it's coming to pass quickly. Well, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is recorded in four books. How surely and how quickly is going to be fulfilled. The Lord is coming. What He has sown in our hearts, He will reap if we bear the fruit according to His word. He will reward good and He will reward evil in His perfect way. God is not going to forget anything. And truly, I sense that He is not going to judge human hearts by how much deeds of sin they managed to do, but how sinful their hearts were. Even the man that was sitting in the prison next to Joseph could have multiplied his sins, just as Joseph, in his imprisonment, was continually serving and worshiping the Lord, his God. So, I think there is a very strong message for the young and old to keep ourselves from the pollution of the world and from the filth of the flesh. You see, Joseph was persecuted because he did not enjoy the filth of the flesh. Joseph was persecuted because he declared the message from the Lord to his brethren. Joseph was not encouraged even by his father at that moment, and yet his father did observe the words of Joseph. And now, Jacob, being an old man already, probably is thinking in his heart that Joseph is lost for Jacob forever. He will never see him again in this life. And yet, the time is coming, and is coming fast. In about 7 years, maybe 8 years, Joseph's brethren are coming to see that ruler of Egypt that at the first moment was mean to them, to test them and to let them recall their evil deeds that they hope and wish were forgotten by everybody else. God did not forget. May the Lord bless His word and add to it much more than I shared with you in my great weakness, and I hope also in our Bible study, in looking at these same words after this short service, that the Lord will reveal to us more and more clearly of this message that was entrusted to Joseph's stewardship, that we may also see the scripture as a whole, that the whole Bible is given from the Lord and good for us, profitable for our admonition, our correction, our growing in faith and serving the Lord. And to our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may from our hearts be praise and thanksgiving and worship as long as we are pilgrims on this earth, and then by His goodness and grace forever after.